Chapter 18, Mobility. Mobility is a combined arms activity. This chapter focuses on mobility and the different mission and tasks associated with combined arms mobility. Mobility. Freedom to move and maneuver in an operational area is essential to the application of combat power and mission accomplishment. The operational environment will present numerous challenges to movement and maneuver. Combined arms mobility overcomes these challenges by integrating the framework of assured mobility in support of offensive, defensive, and other enabling operations. Mobility is a quality or capability of military forces which permits them to move from place to place while retaining the ability to fulfill their primary mission, JP3-36. Mobility is necessary for the conduct of successful offensive operations. When discussing Army tactics, mobility includes both movement and maneuver, generally applying to both collectively unless stated as movement or maneuver. Its major focus is to enable friendly forces to move and maneuver freely on the battlefield or an assigned area. Units require the capability to move, exploit, and pursue the enemy across a wide front. When attacking, the commander wants to concentrate the effects of combat power at select locations. This may require the unit to improve or construct combat trails through areas where routes do not exist. The surprise achieved by attacking through an area believed to be impassable may justify the effort expended in constructing these trails. The force bypasses existing obstacles that are identified before starting the offense instead of breaching them when possible. However, this must be done with caution because it might give the enemy an advantage. Bypassed obstacles are reported to higher headquarters and they are marked as the situation allows. Maintaining the momentum of an offensive operation requires the attacking force to quickly pass through obstacles as it encounters them. This involves a deliberate effort to capture enemy bridges and other enemy reserved obstacles intact. In some cases, using air assault and airborne forces is an effective technique to accomplish this goal. Hasty breaching is the preferred method when time and resources are unavailable to conduct a deliberate breach. The commander plans how and where subordinate forces conduct breaching. Rivers and other gaps larger than navigable by mounted and dismounted forces remain major obstacles despite advances in high mobility vehicles and increased aviation support. Wet gap crossings are among the most critical, complex, and vulnerable combined arms missions. While units conduct hasty crossings when possible, they continue the attack with speed. Operational risk is much higher with hasty crossings, and staff planning must still incorporate the breaching tenets and gap crossing fundamentals. The size of the gap and the enemy and friendly situation will dictate the specific tactics, techniques, and procedures used in conducting the crossing. Gap crossing includes the deliberate, hasty, and covert capabilities. Initial combat crossings may be further developed in support of locks. Mobility tasks. Mobility tasks are those combined arms activities that mitigate the effects of obstacles to enable freedom of movement and maneuver. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 Alpha. There are six primary mobility tasks: breach, gap crossing, clear, areas and routes, combat roads and trails, construct and maintain forward airfields and landing zones, traffic management and enforcement. Note: Chapter 18 only discusses breaching, gap crossing, and clearing. For additional information on combat roads and trails, forward airfield and landing zones, and traffic management and enforcement, see ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 Alpha. Mobility tasks are conducted to enable friendly forces to move and maneuver freely on the battlefield. Mobility tasks depend on information collection and intelligence. Breaching and gap crossing in support of maneuver are primarily conducted using combat engineer units that have or are augmented by gap crossing equipment. Gap crossing equipment includes the rapidly emplaced bridge system that is organic to the Stryker BCT and the Joint Assault Bridge organic to the Armored BCT. Units may also receive gap crossing assets from echelons above brigade, such as those typically found in a multi-role bridge company. These echelons above brigade assets may include the dry support bridge fixed bridging for dry gaps, or the improved ribbon bridge, which is also capable of rafting for wet gap crossing. Typically, BCTs are able to execute breaches, dry crossing, and wet gap crossings up to a certain width with little assistance from a division or corps headquarters. Any wet gap crossing that requires a multi-role bridge company will usually be at least a division-level operation and require additional assistance from a corps. Engineers at all echelons can conduct clearing operations. Breach. A successful obstacle breach is a synchronized and rehearsed combined arms activity under the control of the maneuver unit. Breaching is a mission undertaken to execute a breach. Breaching allows maneuver despite the presence of the enemy reinforcing obstacles with direct and indirect fire. Breaching begins when friendly forces detect an obstacle and begin to apply the breaching fundamentals. Breaching ends when battle handover occurs between follow-on forces and the unit conducting the breach. A breach includes the reduction of minefields, other explosive hazards, and other obstacles. Generally, breaching requires significant combat engineer support to accomplish. Reduction is the creation of lanes through a minefield or obstacle to allow passage of the attacking ground force, JP3-15. A lane is a route through, over, or around an enemy or friendly obstacle that provides passage of a force, ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. The route may be reduced and proofed as part of breaching, constructed as part of the obstacle, or marked as a bypass. The number and width of lanes vary depending on the enemy situation, size, and composition of the assaulting force, and the scheme of movement and maneuver. Proof is the verification that a lane is free of mines or explosive hazards and that the width and trafficability at the point of breach are suitable for the passing force. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. Proofing can be conducted visually, electronically, or mechanically. Some mines are resistant to reduction assets and may require a combination of breaching techniques. For example, magnetic and double impulse mines may resist a mine-clearing line charge blast. Proofing is an important component of breaching considering the wide variety of explosive obstacle threats in use today. Breach control measures. The breach area is a defined area where a breach occurs. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. It is established and fully defined by the higher headquarters of the unit conducting the breach. Within the breach area is the point of breach, the reduction area, the far side objective, and the point of penetration. Point of breach is the location at an obstacle where the creation of a lane is being attempted. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. Initially, points of breach are planned locations only within the directed breach area. Normally, the breach force determines the actual point of breach during the breach. Reduction area is a number of adjacent points of breach that are under the control of the breaching commander. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. The commander conducting the attack determines the size and location of the reduction area that supports the seizure of a point of penetration. The reduction area is indicated by the area located between the arms of the control graphic for breach. The length and width of the arms extend to include the entire depth of the area that must be reduced. Far side objective is a defined location oriented on the terrain or on an enemy force that an assaulting force seizes to eliminate enemy direct fires to prevent the enemy from interfering with the reduction of the obstacle and allows follow-on forces to move securely through created lanes. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. A far side objective can be oriented on the terrain or on an enemy force. The higher headquarters assigns the objective. However, the attacking unit normally subdivides the objective into smaller objectives to assign responsibilities and to control and focus the assault of subordinate forces. When breaching as part of a larger force, seizing the far side objective provides the necessary maneuver space for the higher unit follow-on forces to move securely through the lanes, assemble or deploy, and continue the attack without enemy interference. Point of penetration is the location identified on the ground where the commander concentrates their efforts at the weakest point of the enemy to seize a foothold on the far side objective. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. This is achieved along a narrow front through maneuver and direct and indirect fires that are accurately placed against enemy forces. A commander conducting a breach establishes a point of penetration that supports planning locations for the reduction area and the seizure of the far side objective. Breach types. Breaching activities must be adapted to best exploit the situation. The level and type of planning distinguish which of the three general types of breaching: deliberate, hasty, covert. Deliberate breach. A deliberate breach is the systematically planned and executed creation of a lane through a barrier or obstacle. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. Typically, a unit uses a deliberate breach against a strong defense or a complex obstacle system. It is characterized by the most planning, preparation, and buildup of combat power on the near side of obstacles. It is similar to a deliberate attack, requiring detailed knowledge of the defense and obstacle systems. Subordinate units are task-organized to accomplish the breach. The breach may require securing the far side of the obstacle with an assault force before or during reduction. Hasty breach. A hasty breach is the creation of lanes through enemy minefields by expedient methods, such as blasting with demolitions, pushing rollers or disabled vehicles through the minefields when the time factor does not permit detailed reconnaissance, deliberate breaching, or bypassing the obstacle, JP 3-15. A hasty breach is an adaptation to the deliberate breach and is conducted when less time is available. It may be conducted during a deliberate or hasty attack due to lack of clarity on enemy obstacles or changing enemy situations. An in-stride breach is a type of hasty breach used to describe the situation when a subordinate unit is expected to be able to organize for a conduct a hasty breach with its organic or task-organized assets without affecting the higher unit scheme of movement and maneuver or commander's intent. In-stride breach is generally not used below the company level since a platoon is unable to form effective support, breach, and assault forces with its squads. Covert breach. A covert breach is the creation of lanes through minefields or other obstacles that is planned and intended to be executed without detection by an adversary. Its primary purpose is to reduce obstacles in an undetected fashion to facilitate the passage of maneuver forces. A covert breach is conducted when surprise is necessary or desirable, and when limited visibility and terrain present the opportunity to reduce enemy obstacles without being seen. Through surprise, the commander conceals their capabilities and intentions and creates the opportunity to position support and assault forces to strike the enemy while unaware or unprepared. The support force does not usually provide suppressive fire until the initiation of the assault or in the event that the breach force is detected. Covert breaches are usually conducted during limited visibility. It uses elements of deliberate and hasty breaching as required. Breaching tenets. Successful breaching missions are characterized by applying breaching tenets. These tenets are integrated into the planning process. The tenets are intelligence, breaching fundamentals, suppress, obscure, secure, reduce, and assault, SOSRA, breaching organization, mass, synchronization. See ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34-alpha for more information on the breaching tenets. Breach fundamentals. Breaching fundamentals are integrated into the planning process and applied when a defended obstacle must be reduced. This includes breaching, gap crossing, and route clearance missions. The fundamentals are described by the memory aid SOSRA. Suppress, obscure, secure, reduce, assault. See ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34-alpha for information on breaching. Suppress. Suppressive fires in sufficient volume serve to secure the reduction area. The purpose of suppression during breaching is to protect forces reducing obstacles and maneuvering through the reduction area. Successful suppression generally triggers the rest of the actions at the POB. Fire control measures ensure that all fires are synchronized with other actions at the POB. The mission of the support force is to suppress the enemy overwatching the obstacle. The breach force also provides additional suppressive fires as the situation dictates. However, its primary roles are first to secure the near side objective and then to reduce the obstacle. In complex or restrictive terrain, effective suppression may have to be achieved through close-in fighting. Defenders will tend to be more fortified when defending in urban terrain and may be more difficult to suppress. Forces tasked with suppressing the enemy may find it necessary to seize terrain at or on the far side of the obstacle to achieve their mission. Fighting to achieve enemy suppression will likely be decentralized, and the ability to use indirect fires will be restricted due to the proximity of friendly and enemy forces and civilians. Obscure. Breach forces conduct breaching using available natural cover and concealment. They employ battlefield obscuration, which hampers enemy observation and target acquisition of the breach force as it reduces the obstacle and the assault force as it passes through the obstacle. Obscuration requires close coordination, control, and detailed planning to maximize the desired effects on the enemy while not degrading friendly capabilities. This is especially important when conducting breaching in complex or restrictive terrain due to the close-in nature of the fighting. In urban areas, indirect delivered obscuration and suppressive fires will be more restricted. In some situations, using mortars, because of the ability to fire high-level trajectory, smoke pots, and smoke grenades rather than artillery-fired obscurants may be more effective. Planners consider the effects of wind and the time and assets required to build and maintain effective obscuration for the desired duration. Using indirect fire to provide obscuration often competes with other mission requirements and requires priorities to be established. Obscuration employed in multiple locations and at various times can confuse the enemy on the specific location and timing of breaching. See ATP 3-11.50 for more information on obscuration. Secure. Forces conducting a breach secure the reduction area to prevent the enemy from interfering with obstacle reduction and the passage of the assault force through the created lanes. The reduction area must be secured before attempting to reduce the obstacle. The higher headquarters breaching unit is responsible for isolating the breach area by fixing enemy forces in their current positions, attacking enemy reserves in depth, and providing counterfire. Identifying the extent of the enemy defense is critical in selecting the appropriate technique to secure the point of breach. The point of breach is secured before reducing the obstacle. The breach force is resourced with sufficient maneuver assets to provide local security against the enemy that the support force cannot adequately engage. Elements within the breach force that secure the reduction area may also be used to suppress the enemy once reduction is complete. Breaching elements prepare their breaching assets for employment throughout the secure phase. Reduce. Normally, engineers and reduction assets, mobility capabilities, are used to reduce an obstacle. The number and width of lanes needed depend on the enemy situation, terrain, size, and composition of the assault force and scheme of maneuver. The lanes must allow the assault force to pass through the obstacle rapidly. In complex or restrictive terrain, the assault force may be constrained to a single lane, and the assault force commander must ensure that the sequencing of forces through the lane is appropriate to achieve the mission. The breach force will reduce, proof, mark, and report lane locations and the lane marking method to higher headquarters. Follow-on units will further reduce or clear the obstacle as required. Reduction begins when effective suppression and obscuration have been established. The obstacle has been confirmed, and the reduction area is secure. Assault. A breach is complete when the attacking force has assaulted through the obstacle, seized the far side objective, eliminated enemy direct and observed indirect fires on the reduction area, and, if planned, the battle handover with follow-on forces. Engineers support the flow of combat forces through the lanes or bridges to build combat power quickly on the far side. These forces may entail follow-on breakout forces if the initial assault forces culminate or establishes defensive areas to manage operational reach and sustainment for future operations. Breach organization. Units organize into the following three forces to conduct a breach: support, breach, assault. Establishing the breach organization facilitates the application of the breaching fundamentals. Planning a breach. Units use the reverse planning process when planning a breach. The reverse planning process begins with actions on the objective and moves backward to the LD, since seizing an objective is typically the decisive point at the tactical level and directly tied to mission accomplishment. Maneuver planners use reverse planning and force ratios to determine the size and composition of the maneuver forces that will perform the tasks that support the main and supporting effort for each COA. Actions on the objective drive the size and composition of the force that conducts the final assault onto the objective as part of an attack, which dictates lane requirements, the number and location of required lanes. Lane requirements and the composition of obstacles drive the amount and type of reduction assets needed by the breach force. The engineer staff officer and other planners use reverse planning to determine how best to allocate mobility assets within the arrayed forces to facilitate the scheme of movement and maneuver for each COA. The engineer staff officer focuses on the allocation of reduction assets. The situational template depicting enemy direct and indirect fire coverage of template enemy obstacles determines the size and composition of the support force. Reverse planning for breaching is performed using the following steps. Step 1, identify available reduction assets. Step 2, template enemy obstacles. Step 3, understand the scheme of movement and maneuver. Step 4, identify the number of required breach lanes. Step 5, identify the assets required to reduce, proof, and mark lanes. Step 6, task organize reduction assets within the maneuver force. See ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha for more information on the reverse planning process for a breach. Successful breaching depends on preparation and planning. During preparation, units continue to review IPB products against the current situation and redirect information collection assets to focus on the most important requirements remaining while emphasizing the commander's critical information requirements. Plans are continuously refined based on IPB updates and reporting from information collection assets. Key preparation activities for breaching include planning refinement based on IPB updates and reporting from information collection assets to include adjustments to the breach organization, support, breach, and assault forces, the scheme of movement and maneuver, and the fire support plan. Implementing the task organization, breach organization, to include coordinating the link-up of breaching assets, units, and equipment with the supported unit to allow combined arms breaching rehearsals to be conducted. Performing pre-combat checks and inspections. Rehearsals with key breaching assets. Position and staging of breaching assets. A breaching rehearsal site should reflect the actual obstacle system in as much detail as possible based on obstacle intelligence. At a minimum, rehearsals should include a leader and key personnel walkthrough and individual rehearsals by support, breach, and assault forces. As time permits, full-scale rehearsals should be conducted. When possible, friendly forces rehearse the mission under the same conditions. Obscuration and darkness expected during the actual mission. Rehearsals should also include contingencies, such as enemy counterattacks and attacks by enemy indirect fire systems, attack helicopters, other air assets, and enemy use of seaburn material. If updates become available after the last possible rehearsal, the information should be immediately passed on to affected elements. A key output of rehearsals is that all participants understand unit-specific brevity codes and signals associated with the breach. Executing task organization changes of critical reduction assets during mission execution may be required. This situation presents even more challenges, especially with regard to terrain management, because unit positions and fire control measures may have shifted. Wargaming these actions during mission planning and rehearsals, implementing the necessary control measures, and coordinating instructions are critical to avoid fratricide. Execution. Execution involves monitoring the situation, assessing the mission, and adjusting the order as needed. When the situation deviates from the order, commanders direct adjustments to exploit opportunities and counter threats. Adjustments that may be necessary during breaching might include allocating additional assets to the support, breach, or assault force due to attrition. Changing the location of the POB or point of penetration. Modifying the scheme of movement and maneuver and changing the order of the units passing through the created lane. For breaching, the commander focuses on monitoring, assessing, and adjusting the critical events of a breach that were rehearsed. The critical events that are generally associated with a breach are occupying support by fire positions, suppressing the far side objective, employing obscuration, reducing the obstacle, assaulting the far side objective, consolidating on the far side objective, passage of follow-on forces. Gap crossing. A gap is a ravine, mountain pass, river, or other terrain feature that presents an obstacle that may be bridged. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. Gap crossing in supportive maneuver is similar to a breach in that the force is vulnerable while moving through a lane or across a gap. Maneuver units are forced to break movement formations, concentrate within lanes or at crossing points, and reform on the far side before continuing to maneuver. While much of the terminology and planning associated with gap crossing is the same as that used in a breach, gap crossing and breach differ in scope. The amount and type of assets involved also differ. Combined arms breaching sometimes includes gap crossings as a reduction method. Since the primary focus of planning and preparation is on the breach, they are typically discussed as a subordinate part of the breach rather than as a separate gap crossing. Gaps will exist in the operational environment and present a significant challenge to movement and maneuver. A gap crossing is the projection of combat power across a linear obstacle, wet or dry gap, ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. Historically, gap crossings were described only in the context of crossing rivers. A river crossing is a special type of gap crossing required before ground combat power can be projected and sustained across a water obstacle. A centrally planned and controlled offensive mission requires the allocation of specialized crossing resources and a force dedicated to the security of the bridgehead. While river crossing is still considered one of the most challenging of gap crossings, a river is only one type of gap that can obstruct freedom of mobility. The fundamentals of crossing any type of gap are essentially the same as those fundamentals that have been associated with river crossing. River crossings are simply one focused set of challenges among all of the possible types of gap crossings. A gap crossing encompasses wet or dry gaps in any type of environment or uses organic and augmenting engineer and other elements best suited to accomplish the mission. Types of gap crossing. The gap crossing types are deliberate, hasty, covert. Each gap crossing type has a general list of conditions that help define the category. The planning requirements for each type of gap crossing are similar. However, the required degree of detail and necessary conditions for a high degree of success will vary based on the type and the unique features associated with a crossing mission. In all cases, the ability to conduct any type of crossing begins by providing a crossing force with the necessary gap crossing means and control elements and identifying those requirements early during planning. Note: a retrograde gap crossing is not a fourth type of gap crossing. In reality, it is merely a variation of a deliberate or hasty gap crossing, and it is typically performed as a deliberate gap crossing. It may be performed with or without enemy pressure on the crossing force. Clearly, it is more difficult when performed under enemy pressure. Deliberate gap crossing. A deliberate crossing is the crossing of an inland water obstacle or other gap that requires extensive planning and detailed preparations. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. A deliberate gap crossing is classified as wet or dry, and it is usually accomplished with one or more bridge companies in support of combat maneuver. It is normally accomplished when a hasty crossing is not feasible or has failed. Any deliberate crossing requires detailed reconnaissance, detailed planning, coordination of fire plans, extensive preparations and rehearsals, and significant engineer assets. While a BCT is capable of making a deliberate crossing, this type of crossing normally requires a higher headquarters to assist in planning and command and control, since it generally involves more than one BCT. Deliberate crossings can involve general and combat engineering elements. Some additional considerations for conducting deliberate gap crossings include the complexity and the assets required to accomplish the crossing, opposition from a defending enemy and obstacle severity, necessity to clear entry and exit crossing points of enemy forces. Normally, deliberate crossings involve gaps that are greater than 20 meters, 65 feet. A gap of this length limits the effectiveness of tactical bridging assets, and the gap will typically require other bridging assets. Crossing gaps of this magnitude normally require support bridging in the form of float bridging, wet gap, or other types of standard bridging, dry gap. Deliberate wet gap crossing. The deliberate wet gap crossing is one that requires the use of rafting, non-bridging, and bridging assets. The use of assault craft, boats and helicopters, rafting or ferries, and the emplacement of bridging assets may occur sequentially or concurrently. The objective in deliberate wet gap crossings is to project combat power to the exit bank of a river or other type of significant water obstacle at a faster rate than the enemy can concentrate forces for a counterattack. Typically, wet gap crossings are one of the most difficult types. They generally require significant augmentation of mobility support assets. Deliberate dry gap crossing. Deliberate dry gap crossings are usually determined by the strength of the enemy defense and the magnitude of the gap. These assets are labor-intensive and expose personnel to enemy fire during construction while providing stable gap crossing support for continuous mobility. Hasty gap crossing. A hasty crossing is the crossing of an inland water obstacle or other gap using the crossing means on hand or those readily available and made without pausing for elaborate preparations. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. Hasty gap crossings are usually focused on a combined arms activity to project combat power across a terrain feature, wet or dry, that can be overcome by self-bridging assets within the BCT. These assets may be organic, provided to the BCT as augmentation, or found as expedient crossing materials within the assigned area. Typically, a hasty gap crossing is a gap that is under 20 meters, 65 feet, or less in width. They are normally accomplished with tactical bridging assets. Hasty gap crossings are most often used when enemy resistance is weak and the gap is not a severe obstacle. Hasty gap crossings also feature decentralized control at the BCT level and below, using a task-organized mobility augmentation company, organic assets, or expedient crossing means at multiple sites along a broad front. Due to the limited organic crossing assets, additional support from echelons above the BCT is often necessary. That support is only available when those headquarters have taken purposeful action to position the assets at the right time and place, and to integrate them with the maneuver force to make a hasty gap crossing feasible. Coordination for these assets must be made early in the planning phase. Some additional considerations for conducting hasty gap crossings include the size of the gaps in the maneuver area, availability of existing bridges, fords, bypasses, or expedient crossing materials, recovery of assets, aviation, rotary wing asset availability. A hasty crossing is conducted in an effort to maintain the momentum of the maneuver force by quickly massing combat power on the far side of the gap with no intentional pause. This promotes speed, facilitates surprise, and provides a continuation of maneuver momentum. The planning process is critical to identify gap locations and their dimensions and request or allocate the necessary assets to ensure unimpeded movement. Hasty crossings are planned, organized, and executed much like a hasty breach. The unit must consider the integration of the crossing assets in its movement formation, redundancy in crossing means, traffic flow across the gap, and the recovery of the crossing assets. Units task organize their force in a manner that supports the overall mission and facilitates a successful gap crossing followed by a quick recovery. To accomplish gap crossing efficiently, bridging assets should be in a position within the maneuver formation where positive control can be maintained. This is an important consideration, as all gap crossing equipment does not have the necessary communications means to maneuver effectively as maneuver formations. Additionally, some of the gap crossing equipment is less maneuverable and slower than the combat vehicle support, and it is also less survivable in some cases. This may slow down the movement speed for the maneuver elements. In spite of these challenges, proper planning and command and control can minimize these negative impacts. Two other considerations are the desirability for redundancy of crossing equipment and the capability to rapidly recover the crossing means. Tactical bridging is designed with these considerations in mind. Commanders should plan on the use of multiple crossing means depending on the criticality of the crossing and the time available. The terrain, transporter, and bridge maintenance, as well as crew training, rehearsals, and experience can impact bridge launch and recovery. The recovery of crossing assets and transition after the crossing is important for units to sustain their momentum. Typically, units can expect crossing assets to recover and join the maneuver force on the far side of the gap. The units have at least two options. The unit can halt movement on the far side of the gap and wait for the crossing asset to recover the bridge. The unit can continue movement and leave an adequate security force during the recovery, which can also assist the crossing asset in rejoining the maneuver force. If the assets are intended to stay with the unit, consideration must be given to follow-on support or lock bridging assets to ensure that support or follow-on forces can adequately continue to follow the maneuver force. The higher headquarters may direct the unit to keep its crossing assets in place for follow-on forces to use, which will degrade or eliminate that unit's ability to cross any subsequent gaps unless it has been resourced with sufficient tactical bridging. If the higher headquarters intends for tactical bridging to remain in place, it must augment the unit with sufficient assets to accomplish this task while retaining sufficient tactical gap crossing capability to facilitate continued maneuver and movement. Because a gap crossing constricts and splits the maneuver force at the crossing site, the plan must be flexible enough for the commanders or their designated representative to execute decisions based on acceptable opportunity and threat variances. The unit's command post can assist the command group by controlling the execution of the crossing and maintaining a status of the location and operational readiness of the crossing assets. Hasty wet gap crossing. The depth and width of the wet gap, bank conditions, and the current velocity are major factors that impact the ability of a maneuver unit to conduct a hasty wet gap crossing. These factors will determine if the maneuver force can cross by fording, if expedient materials can be used, or if specific bridging assets are required. Identifying wet gaps early and deploying the required resources allow hasty crossings of known or anticipated gaps to occur. Hasty dry gap crossing. An anti-vehicle ditch, crater, dry riverbed, partially blown bridge, or similar obstacle is normally what maneuver forces encounter as a dry gap crossing obstacle. Maneuver forces can use equipment to push down the sides of ditches or fill in craters. Substantial fill material placed in the dry gaps allows the passage of combat-tracked vehicles. The crossing site can be improved and maintained for wheeled traffic use by follow-on forces. In-stride gap crossing. The in-stride gap crossing is a variant of the hasty gap, wet or dry crossing that consists of a rapid gap crossing adaptation conducted by forces organic to or task organized with the attacking force. It consists of pre-planned, well-trained, and well-rehearsed gap crossing battle drills and the use of the unit SOPs. The in-stride gap crossing takes advantage of surprise and momentum to bridge or defeat gaps and relies on good and timely reconnaissance for its success as well. The force uses the in-stride gap crossing against weak defenders or very simple gaps and executes the battle drills on the move. Attacking maneuver forces generally move configured to be able to execute an in-stride gap crossing, except when a deliberate gap crossing is planned. In-stride gap crossings may occur when a gap is not the same as the unit planned or anticipated. To conduct an in-stride crossing, the unit must be well-trained, have established SOPs, and be task-organized with the necessary tactical bridging assets and capabilities. Generally, the battalion is the principal unit to plan, coordinate, and control an in-stride gap crossing, but a company will normally conduct the actual crossing. The battalion will normally designate specific support forces, and it is responsible for synchronizing the breaching fundamentals as they apply to a gap crossing through detailed planning and well-rehearsed immediate action drills. The commander planning for an in-stride gap crossing must also plan for a transition to a deliberate gap crossing should an in-stride gap crossing be unsuccessful. An unclear situation, enemy and exact gap dimensions and conditions, will make it necessary for several lead company-sized units to be capable of conducting an independent gap crossing. Accurate and timely reconnaissance of the gap, obstacle, and the enemy force that defend the gap set the conditions for properly focusing the location of the in-stride gap crossing. Covert gap crossing. A covert crossing is a planned crossing of an inland obstacle or other gap that is intended to be undetected. ATP 3-90.4/MCTP 3-34 alpha. The primary purpose of the covert crossing is to facilitate undetected infiltration of the far side of a gap. Battalion and smaller forces normally conduct a covert crossing. It is used when surprise is essential to infiltrate over a gap and when limited visibility and terrain present the opportunity to reduce or defeat the enemy obstacle, gap, without being seen. Through surprise, the commander conceals capabilities and intentions and creates the opportunity to position support and assault forces to strike the enemy unaware or unprepared. Like a covert breach, it is normally conducted by a battalion or smaller unit, dismounted or in wheeled vehicles. A BCT is typically too large to maintain the level of stealth necessary to conduct a successful covert gap crossing. A covert gap crossing requires a level of detailed planning, information collection, and command and control that is normally beyond the capability of a company. A covert gap crossing can be used in a variety of situations to support various missions, but should be considered, as opposed to deliberate or hasty, only when there is a need or opportunity to cross a gap without being discovered. The covert crossing can be used to cross forces that will support a follow-on crossing of a larger or similar size element. However, it is planned and conducted as a separate mission. If conducted as a mission that does not involve crossing additional elements, planning and consideration should be given to the recovery of the crossing assets. If the crossing is a precursor to a larger follow-on crossing, recovery of the crossing assets may be accomplished as part of that follow-on task. If the covert gap crossing is being used as a precursor to a deliberate crossing and is detected by the enemy, the higher headquarters may need to reevaluate other potential crossing sites before conducting the deliberate crossing. A contingency plan must always be included in the planning of covert missions in the event that the mission is compromised. A covert crossing should not be confused with the assault phase of a deliberate gap crossing. Gap fundamentals. Successful gap crossing is characterized by applying gap crossing fundamentals. These fundamentals are applied when a gap is encountered in the operational area. These fundamentals are surprise, extensive preparation, less for hasty crossing, flexible planning, traffic management, organization, speed. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for more information on gap fundamentals. Task organizing for gap crossing. Units use the same organic command and control nodes for gap crossings as they do for other missions. These nodes, however, take on additional functions in deliberate gap crossings. For this reason, commanders specify which nodes and staff positions have specific planning and control duties for the crossing. Typically, units designate a crossing area commander, engineer, and headquarters to focus specifically on the efforts needed to cross the gap. Additional engineer units may also provide additional command and control nodes depending on the size and complexity of the gap crossing. This may require some temporary co-location of headquarters cells, or individual augmentation, and an increase in communication means. Units conducting a deliberate gap crossing organize into the following groups: assault force, assured mobility units, bridgehead force, breakout forces. Assault force. Assault forces seize the far side objective to eliminate direct fire on the crossing sites. Assault forces may cross by any means to include rubber pneumatic boats, air assault, or the use of civilian boats if available. The assault force may also be the unit that first secured terrain on the near side and identified if existing bridges were operational and where enemy forces are fighting or defending. The assault force normally crosses in waves, as sufficient boats are seldom available to carry the entire force across at once. It is a very complex operation, requiring synchronization, training, and extensive rehearsals. Assured mobility. Mobility support forces, such as combat engineer companies, multi-role bridge companies, and military police units, provide crossing means, traffic control, and other critical tasks supporting the crossing site. These supporting units are task-organized to perform specific tasks and are controlled using specified procedures that are clear, simple, and rehearsed by all elements to ensure responsive support of the plan and unity of command and effort. Bridgehead force. A bridgehead force is a force that assaults across a gap to secure the enemy side, the bridgehead, to allow the buildup and passage of a breakout force during gap crossing. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. The bridgehead is an area on the enemy side of the linear obstacle that is large enough to accommodate the majority of the crossing force, has adequate terrain to permit defense of the crossing sites, provides security of crossing forces from enemy direct fire, and provides a base for continuing the attack. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. The bridgehead line is the limit of the objective area in the development of the bridgehead. ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. Breakout force. Breakout force is attacked to seize objectives beyond the bridgehead as a continuation of the offense. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for more information on gap organization. Gap crossing planning. The discussion on planning mobility applies to gap crossing in ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha. However, force allocation against enemy units has an added dimension of time that is affected by the crossing rate. Friendly forces can only arrive at the crossing site at the rate at which they can cross the gap. This rate will change at various times throughout the crossing. The rate at which combat forces need to cross will directly affect the number of crossing sites. A major control mechanism category is graphic control measures. The unit uses graphic control measures to delineate areas of responsibility for subordinates and to ease traffic control. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for more information on graphic control measures for a gap crossing. Gap crossing execution. A deliberate river crossing is costly in terms of manpower, equipment, and time. Generally, units conducted against a well-organized defense when a hasty river crossing is not possible or when one has failed. A deliberate river crossing requires the concentration of combat power on a narrow front, capitalizing on the element of surprise. A division or corps deliberate river crossing is an operation conducted as part of an offensive operation. A division is normally the smallest organization that can conduct a deliberate wet gap crossing. It is usually an implied task in a larger mission given by the corps. A gap crossing is usually not the final objective. However, units must quickly cross a river and rapidly secure the bridgehead line to support follow-on offensive action against the enemy. The enemy will normally use the gap as a tactical obstacle system to slow and gain positional advantage against the division advance. The intent of the division is to maintain its momentum through the crossing. A deliberate wet gap crossing has 6 phases. They are distinct phases for planning, but there is no pause between them in execution. Clear. Clear is both a tactical mobility task and a mobility task. The mobility task involves the total elimination of an obstacle that is usually performed by follow-on engineers and explosive ordnance disposal units. It is not normally performed under the threat of direct or indirect fire. Clearing is conducted to eliminate tactical and protective obstacles affecting the operational area. Units may order clearing to facilitate movement within an assigned area based on the mission variables. They may also order a critical route or area cleared of obstacles. The task is conducted as a single mission to open or reopen routes not under persistent surveillance, or it may be conducted on a recurring basis in support of movement along routes where a sustained threat exists along critical routes. See ATP3-90.4/MCTP3-34-alpha for more information on clearing.